Once upon a time, upon an island in the middle of a lake, three public stewards joined forces to protect a small town's independence and start a podcast.
I'm Superintendent and Coroner Baby Smith Jones Johnson.
I'm Fire Chief and Historian Gil Gilman.
I am Mayor Manny McDermott. This is Yelcome Back. Hello, hello, comebackers, and welcome to another episode of This is Yelcome Back. I am, of course, your mayor, Manny McDermott.
And I'm Superintendent and Coroner, Baby Smith Jones Johnson. And last night, I had a sleep paralysis hallucination that American jazz singer Nat King Cole was feeding me ham salad, mama to baby bird style.
Oh, dear.
And I'm Fire Chief and Historian Gil Gilman. If anyone sees a 9-volt battery in Harrison Park, that's mine. Please return it.
Gil, baby, it is so good to be with you all in this room yet again. I want to start today's episode with a little bit of housekeeping. You know, we started this little podcast with a big dream, and that dream was to bring more people to Yelcome Back so that we could meet the state's silly population threshold to maintain our independence and maintain our incorporation as a small town. And I just wanted to give a shout out to five of our newest residents here in Yelcome Back, because, you know, they are helping our dreams come true. They are adding to our population, but also to our communities and to our culture and to our joy. So I just want to welcome Marissa Brinkman, Priscilla De La Garza, Lanita Folsom, Pillar Fellows, and Mike Caswell. You know, these are our five newest residents of Yelcome Back. And before we do anything else today, I just want them to feel warmly welcome to our community.
And that was our traditional moment of silence for new residents to Yelcome Back Island. I don't know if that's what everyone else does and on other islands or in other communities, but here, when you get a new resident, you take a moment of silence.
I know that when I think of warmth, I think of the crushing silence of solitude and peace.
Yeah, that was strangely solemn, but thank you all for observing that moment with me. I think we should pivot here because I think it's important that we address the elephant in the room. My theory of public service is that you get out ahead of the story, you don't hide anything, you stay transparent, and frankly, we have something to answer for. So on New Year's Eve, there was a party, an official town party that, you know, we hosted, we advertised on the mainland, hoped to bring people in. We even had, you know, a boat party aspect, thanks to Rhonda. And Gil, baby, you know, it went south. The party got a little wild. And I think we should be clear that as public officials, we have to be held accountable to our behavior.
Manny, I will be the first to admit that I maybe, possibly, definitely had one too many mudslides at the New Year's Eve party, and I would like to apologize profusely to Gail Tenenbaum. I will replace that kettle.
And, yeah, man, frankly, I wasn't really prepared to talk about this. When you said the elephant in the room and sort of admitting to things, I thought you were talking about this trinket that I brought today. I have taken up wood carving, and sort of the elephant in the room, this right here, is actually an anteater. I meant it to be an anteater, but I got the snout sort of really far off. So I thought that was
embarrassing. Well, the beveling additionally, is just divine, Gil, I have to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that, baby. Unfortunately, I did drink a liter and a half of Everclear the other night at the party. It's not quite that I was tricked. I just thought Everclear was something else. I was not aware it was alcohol, and drinking, I guess, that quantity of it did sort of have an effect on my behavior that some might call unnecessary.
But on the topic of apologizing, Manny, I do believe that I saw you on top of Maud Gomes, roof, recreating the I'm Flying Jack scene from Titanic.
Well, you see, yes, right. As you all know, I am a teetotaler. I don't partake in alcohol, but what did happen was, Dr. Olive brought several batches of brownies that I did not understand to be, let's say, laced with relaxation plants.
Oh yeah, and the horse sedatives. Yeah, those will get you.
Right. Yeah, and I had several brownies because, as you all know, I have a bit of a sweet tooth. And yeah, anytime that I get a little out of mind, I reenact Kate Winslet's greatest hits. And you happen to see me in a pretty cliche moment, but you know, sometimes it's doing a little Clementine from Eternal Sunshine, or you know, pretending to be various lesbians. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest look for the mayor of the town, and I sincerely apologize. I will replace the shingles.
You know, Manny, cliche it may have been, but I will say, it was nuanced.
Thank you. I've been working on it a little bit. Well, yeah, and I do, maybe the last thing I will address. There was a moment when all three of us, at the height of our fun times, if you will.
Oh, gosh.
Began an improvised rap of sorts. And the language was inappropriate, to say the least, for the setting.
You know, as superintendent, I have to set an example for all the students here on the island. So let me just apologize for how flagrantly I threw around the F word that night. I am sorry. Fart is a completely inappropriate word for a man in my position to use.
Really?
And you know, I guess this is one of those moments when I guess, had some lucidity into what was going on. And Frank, the fact that I was able to use English words was surprising even to myself. I would also say, in my role as fire chief, the number of times that I shot that flare gun was just inappropriate. If you or someone you know has a flare gun, please make sure they are educated responsibly on its usage.
You know, in spite of everything, Gil, I do think that only one house fire that night was, in hindsight, a success.
Yes, there certainly could have been more damage, though I do want to acknowledge the, you know, the historical and systemic damage I might have caused in evoking the lyric that I made up, in which I said, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme King Tut. I'll wrap it when I tap it, when I unwrap that butt."
Frankly, Manny, it wasn't so much the lyrics that you used, in my opinion. I thought it was the dancing that I think really did it. And I guess listeners that weren't on the boat at that time might assume that Manny was doing a sort of walk like an Egyptian sort of dance, but it wasn't quite so. Manny had come, I guess, layered up for the cold, and at that point, if I'm not mistaken, had determined that it was no longer cold enough for those layers.
Right.
And so many of them had gone.
Yeah, too many.
While Manny is our mayor, he may or may not have been naked, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm.
If he were a pharaoh, I would say he was King Imhotep.
There were no public indecency laws violated at the time, because we were, of course, on the boat, which is under the jurisdiction of lake law.
And yes, as everyone knows, nudity on the lake is legally sanctioned. Well, I'm glad we addressed that. Thank you both for leading from ahead. You know, it's important when we as public figures make embarrassing choices and actions that we stand up to them. But I also stand behind my two colleagues here as incredible citizens that are truly, you know, committed to the... Oh gosh, Gil, will you get that? Just answer it.
The telephone?
Yes, Gil, the telephone that's ringing loudly. Can you
get
that?
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
I know. I thought you would just answer it because that's your job, Gil. Can you answer the phone?
You know, it's...
We talked about... You said that I shouldn't answer it that way anymore.
What way? Picking it up? That's how you should... That's how you answer a
phone! That's how I assume.
Gil, you know, someone is on that line.
Manny, you're the mayor of this town. You should probably... Get that. It's been ringing for a good time
Mayor
now.
Mayor Manny may or may not need to pick up the phone this time.
Okay, fine. I'll pick it up. Hello? You have reached Town Hall. If this is an emergency, please state it quickly, and we will try to help you.
Manny, you know, this is an emergency line. I don't know if you've got to the point quickly enough.
Oh, you've got to be...
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff ahead of time. Here, Manny, I'll show you how it's done. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, hi. This is CJ Saga, editor-in-chief of the local paper, you know, The Call.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, CJ. Hey.
CJ, it's a little bit of an embarrassment, but I finally found that stock pot I borrowed from you. I know I told you I lost it, but turns out I had been using it as a vase this entire time. Oy.
Great. Just bought a new one, but so happy to know you found mine.
Hey, CJ, I know you're calling on the emergency line, so I'm sure that this is very important, but I also just wanted to say, hearing you say your last name, I have been pronouncing it CJ Saga. I thought you were related to, you know, that popular movie person, Jason Segal.
Oh my gosh, Gil.
Gil,
first of all, this is an emergency line. Second of all, why not everything is pronounced like the sound a bird makes?
I thought it was cigar, like you were saying cigar, but because maybe your family's from New York.
You know, it's a common misconception. My grandfather was the original creator of the cigar.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. That's rude.
It makes sense since both of your grandparents were always just smoking so much.
Like chimneys.
Seems surprisingly recent for the invention of the cigar. That's incredible.
I believe CJ said that her grandparents were the inventors of the cigar,
which is very similar to the cigar, but it's much, much larger. Manny, have you ever had a foot-long sub sandwich?
That feels like a loaded question. Yes.
Well, imagine that size, volume, and heft, but a tobacco product. That's a cigar.
Girthy.
I hate to interrupt you, fine folks, but I have some shocking revelations that I've come across and a lot of questions.
Oh. Oh my. Oh.
I'm sorry, did you say shocking revelations? I'm sorry, I was taking a drink of water. And I was trying to swallow it, and something got caught in my throat. So,
and I collapsed onto my dainty fainting couch that I keep here in the office.
It really is annoying. It's kind of in the way.
You know.
Anyway, CJ, please go ahead.
As three public officials in this town, I would assume that you all would know what was going on within the city.
It's a pretty big assumption, to be honest, but we try our best.
I mean, I'm not the head of the Department of the Interior here on the island. That's Baby's job. Mm-hmm. I'm head of the Department of the Exterior.
And if you remember, a few months ago, we made you the head of titillations and tabloid rumors.
That's true. And I'm also the head of the Posterior, which is similar. A lot of intersections there. So please, CJ, I don't mean to keep interrupting. What are your questions about? What's going on?
Well, since you all don't seem to know what's going on, my first question is for Superintendent Baby. What are you teaching today's youth in the schools?
Oh, well, lots of things. Most recently, I taught a workshop down at Yalcombe Back Municipal Elementary on how to harvest animal flesh and to create drying racks and scrape away the moisture to create handmade vellum.
Because from the documentation I've received, it seems like you've been teaching them how to dump into local waterways.
Ooh.
I think I know exactly what you are talking about. And yes, after we harvested the flesh of animals for their fine, fine leather for vellum creation, we did ceremoniously place their bones back into Outer Lake to return them to Mother Earth and Gaia so that the circle of life could continue.
Well, Superintendent Baby,
that's a relief.
That sounds so sweet, but that's not the dumping I'm referring to.
You know, CJ, something about the way that you sort of intonated when you said dumping made me think that you were saying that Baby had taught those children how to, I guess, as they're saying it, take a great big dumper in the water.
Yes.
And so that is what
you mean. In the town's most treasured lake, in the middle of our town, these teens...
In Inner Lake?
You're pooping in Inner Lake, Baby? You are the head of wildlife and sustainability.
Have you taught these teens to dump within the most treasured landmark within our town?
I've been caught, backed into, a bit of a corner, and, you know, maybe it's time to just come clear. As you may or may not know, a few weeks ago, the seniors at Yalcombek Municipal High School, they had their senior picnic, it was catered, of course, by none other than Manny. He baked a seemingly delicious baked ziti, after mm-hmm. the seniors had enjoyed their baked pasta, well, it turned out that it wasn't going to settle very well in anyone's stomachs, and, well, there was just no time to get back to the high school, and when nature calls, you've got to do your business somewhere.
And I mean, to be fair, I what happened, CJ, was I tried to make a keto ziti, and so I used one of those like pasta makers where you can use produce to create pasta shapes. It turns out that a prune ziti was not ideal. The color was nice, but not on the other side.
Oh, so according to you two, this is just a one-time instance. Nothing terrible going on in town.
Well, CJ, let me ask you this. Do not the fish, do not the itters of Outer Lake and the otters of Inner Lake also poop in the waters? And are we truly any different than those itters or otters? Are we not all just animals in this great big circle of life, pooping and drinking where we poop?
So you're telling me that we teach our teens how to be wild animals instead of great members of our society?
I'm sorry, CJ, to just interrupt briefly. There is the class on sort of moose survival skills where we do sort of teach our teens how best to survive in the wild by emulating the moose. I'm sure you know that as well. And of course, moose don't poop where they swim. So
then if this is just a one-time incident or part of some class that would happen during the day, why is it that the one and only Granny Shortbottom provided me with photos of teens dumping at all hours of the night?
Oh my.
Granny Shortbottom, that makes sense. You see, back in the 40s, during her heyday, it was all the rage in town for teens to go out and, you know, take a big old dumper right in the lake. I think she may have been showing you a few photos, trying to take herself a trip down memory lane.
Are you insinuating that Granny Shortbottom would lie?
You know, CJ, I don't want this to just sound like your typical politicians being defensive. So I guess maybe I'll turn a question to you. You know, you came to us with these hard-hitting journalistic factoids. I'm wondering, is there damage to the waterways that you've seen? What made you concerned about the proliferation of youth poop in Inner Lake?
And CJ, we are actually recording the podcast now, so if there's anything sort of salacious or terrible or things that might not be appropriate for air, make sure you say them now, because this is when sort of the public will needs to hear them and can hear them.
Well, let me ask you all a question. To your question, is it a victimless crime if I've seen several baby otters just throwing teen poop all around for our town's babies to get them?
And their hands are
so
precious.
Yes.
It's both collectively adorable and revolting to think about.
The Yolkenback otters are no longer tucking little tiny rocks under their armpits. No, no. Instead, they're little tiny teen poops. Is that what we want? Is that how we want to convey our town to outsiders?
It's not. Certainly not. I hear you. You know, the cleanliness of our otters' hands, especially since those mothers have to work overtime to keep them clean. I certainly understand your concern. I'm also a little concerned for our teens' diets. Usually, I imagine that means all of their poop is floating to be accessible to the otters, and I don't think that's great. So I have many concerns here.
Here's a question, and also a suggestion, an idea. What if we were to change up the menus and the cafeterias for all the schools here on the island so that it is an otter-friendly menu?
Are you saying the teens are eating the otters?
What I'm suggesting is that if the teens eat an otter-friendly menu, once they take a big fat dumper in Inner Lake, in Inner Lake, then it would be a compact little pellet of otter fuel.
And what about the You'll Come Back Town seals? What are they supposed to do?
Oh, the seals are back?
They're back. And they're pissed.
Manny, you didn't tell us the seals are back.
Well, frankly, you all make it hard to bring these sorts of things up.
Manny, we have that meeting at the beginning of every work day where we say, are the seals back? We have that, you know, thermometer where we color it in green or red to indicate how many seals, and it's been at zero for so long.
I know that.
We always hand you the markers.
You've seen the revolver in the glass case on the wall there that says, in case the seals return, break glass.
Well, maybe I don't want to be part of a tradition of killing the seals. Maybe we can reach a diplomatic solution.
I mean, it's a tranquilizer gun, man. We're not going to shoot any seals.
Well, you could have made that more clear. It looks like a revolver.
That would make it feel, it would make you feel more empowered when the seals are charging you down.
Yeah, I had already made that one change. I don't know if you all noticed, but instead of saying break glass, it actually says if seals are present, break seal. I just thought that was sort of funny.
I get it.
Is the safety of our community really a laughing matter to you three political officials?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, CJ. That's
Do
a good
you
point.
Have I, the best
personally,
interest?
I'm not on trial here. I'm not the one who've taught our teens to take big fat dumpers in Inner Lake. So, you know, I'll leave that to Manny and Baby to resolve.
Okay, why is my name in that? I don't have any control over the children.
You are the mayor of this town.
Oh, okay, fair point. That's a fair point. CJ, do you have any other questions about how well we're doing? Our infrastructure plan.
Maybe what our sponsors are for this week.
Oh, good point. CJ, while you think about those questions, let's hear a little word from our sponsor.
From the Rocks for Family, behind such ventures as Rocks for Squeegees, Rocks for Massages, and Rocks for and Sons Law Firm, comes an exciting new Rocks for Venture. Rocks for You! Rocks for You is an exciting new store featuring upcycled rocks from other Rocks for Ventures. And the best part is, you get to decide what these Rocks for rocks are for. Some gravel from Rocks for Lawn Care could be your next driveway. Or a hunk of limestone from Rocks for Recording Studio could be your next countertop. The possibilities are only limited by your imagination with rocks. Baby Manny and I got a special sneak peek into the store before their grand opening. What kind of rocks did you all buy? And what'd you end up using them for?
Oh, well, I picked up a few rocks for pillows, and I had been meaning to get a few new decorative throw pillows for my new sofa, and, you know, these granite slabs really do the trick.
I picked up a set of igneous rocks that I use for multiple purposes. One is for paperweights, because as you all know, as mayor, I have papers galore on this desk, but I also made sure to get the igneous mortar and pestle to mix all of my favorite vegan recipes, including the prune ziti. I'm really loving the product.
And you, listener, can find all of that and more at Rocks for You, which has its grand opening this Friday at 7 a.m. Rocks for You. Make sure your rocks are good.
And we're back. And hopefully that ad had you craving hard-hitting rocks. And now I guess we'll get back to a hard-hitting journalist. There's a segue. CJ, how you doing? What do you have any other questions for us?
Just wondering if you all keep your rocks in your head instead of on your desks.
Well, that, you know, that seems rather harsh for an objective journalist like yourself.
Wait, my assistant just brought in some breaking news.
Okay.
This just in.
Did you say breaking news?
Little Linda Lule has lost her little toe to You'll Come Back Lobster. The sea creatures are revolting. They are tired of the poop.
Oh my. The lobster cut off a child's toe?
What are you all going to do? What will happen to these teens? Will there be consequences?
Oh.
For the teens or the lobster or the toe?
Let me start here. As you know, CJ, with our history, we do believe in restorative justice on the island, so we will certainly get the lobster into a restorative justice program where he can meet with a crisis counselor, and also we can begin to talk about reparation for the harm that's been done to his habitat, but also reparation for the child now missing a digit, a victim of all of this as well. As for the teens, that is in baby's jurisdiction, but we want to foster their growth and learning, not just to punish them.
And since we are recording this, I think this does sort of fall into sort of the audio trial territory. So perhaps we could get Sonic Judge Irving maybe to rule on this after she's heard the episode. But I'm not on trial, and I just want to state that for the record. On the other hand, I would like to maybe make a suggestion of finding another place for the teens to take their big fat dumpers. Mm. And I think maybe one of those possibilities was mentioned just at the top of the show. CJ, baby, that stock pot, you know, it's not needed anymore. Maybe if that stock pot was placed somewhere near Inner Lake, mm-hmm. that'd be a great place for the teams to sort of relieve themselves.
You know, it is. It's a 35-gallon stock pot, and at the moment, I only have a single tulip in it. And, you know, I like to track and chart my health by means of my dumpers, and I could easily say that the mass of one of my fat dumpers is equal to the mass of one tulip.
So what do you think, CJ? I mean, I know you're not, you're more on the reporting end of things, but, you know, you're the editor as well. Maybe you editorialize a bit. What do you think? What's your opinion? You think this is a good plan?
I think diapers for teens is the plan to go with.
Hmm.
Diapers for teens? Is this a movement? This is the first I've heard of this slogan.
Well, I could tell you, little Linda Lule's feeling really strong about diapers for teens right now. I mean, maybe the stock pot is a good way to start, but this is just getting out of hand.
CJ, we actually have a new... Hi! 5-point plan to increase the population. And one of those points is to clean up all of the diapers from Garbage Beach. And if we give every teen on the island diapers for their big fat dumpers, where else could they throw them but Garbage Beach? And that just, you know, that defeats the point of what we're trying to do here.
You know, as mayor, I hate to throw my authority around, but maybe this is a time when I can propose a solution. And forgive me if this is a little out there, a little wild, but I think if part of the problem is that we have some teen rebellion scenario where there is a mass dumping happening in our most beloved inner lake, then there's two solutions. One, we clearly need maybe at Yolkenbeck Community College or maybe at the high school a reinstatement of a potty training curriculum for adolescents. I think we pay a lot of attention to toddlers. It's time to pay a little more attention to adolescents who sometimes feel as if they can sort of reclaim childhood by getting a little wild with their bowels. That's plan number one. Plan number two, CJ, and I hope you cover this factually and on the record. Plan number two is that every time a teen poops in Inner Lake, they must help us clean another part of the island. A tit-for-tat situation. So, for example, if Ayana Small takes a deuce in Inner Lake, then she will help us clean the pit where that used to be the mass grave of chickens. Like, I think it's only fair.
You know, Mayor, I really appreciate your creative problem solving, and I know my readers do as well.
Thank you.
Well, hold on a second here. I've got some breaking news of my own, all right? I've been doing some research while you all have been talking, and again, I know I'm not on trial here, but I guess I would like to take the role for a second as a sort of auditory public defender. I've been doing some research. I was hearing about these diapers for teens and hearing CJ's name being thrown around a lot. So I knew this rang a bell. So I was doing some research back in the archives, which I have all of it here on my phone. I don't know if you all remember this, but along with the Saga family, originally being the Saga family and making what we all, the Sagas that we know, and well, I don't partake in them, but
girthy.
They're smooth and mild. Yeah,
they're far too. But in addition to that, the Saga family also owns the largest share of the teen incontinence industry here on the island.
My fainting couch! It's too dainty for all this fainting!
So, CJ, since we have you on the line here, perhaps you could speak to this. You and Granny Shortbottom seem like you might, who is, I might say, the second largest shareholder of the teen incontinence program on the island.
Never trust a short bottom.
CJ, and here to think, I was going to give back the stock pot that I borrowed from you in the first place.
I hope you drown in that stock pot, baby.
CJ!
Wow.
That's a strong statement.
And on the record.
I will remind you. I will remind you, yeah, you are on the air and also possibly going to be in the court of Sonic Judge Irving.
I can't believe the audacity of this group of political officials. Would you dare insinuate that I would put up little Linda Lule's toes just to make a profit?
Well, it was just the one toe.
Are the seals even returning?
You know, I really appreciate your all's time today. It's really been great. You know, Mayor, you're doing a bang up job, and I
thank you.
I greatly respect each and every one of you all. It was such a hoot to see you at the New Year's Eve party. I just, you know.
Yes, and thank you for your discretion in not putting that in the paper, and also, you know, frankly, Thank you for your coverage of the local rugby team of which I am a part. Your sentences about our thighs shining for the gods are poetic, reminiscent of the Greek classics. So keep it up on that front.
I can't resist a beefy thigh. Everyone knows that.
Everyone.
And CJ, I know. Well, I do first want to claim this as another victory for myself, amateur attorney Gil Gilman. But I'd also like to just say, you know, I don't like to throw around political favors, but you know, I really appreciate you publishing my political cartoon. I thought it was pretty funny, and so, you know, so what if you were trying to sort of increase the value of your business by creating a scandal that wasn't actually happening. I think, you know, you're running a great newspaper there. You're publishing some really funny political cartoons. Like Manny said, you're covering the local sports. I think we'll call it a pass.
That sounds great, Gil. And may I just say before we sign off, hey everybody, don't forget, smoke Saga cigars.
Smooth and mild.
And girthy. Well, that, Gil, baby, that was one of our most eventful calls yet.
I'm sorry, Manny. I'm a little bit stressed out. I am going to sit down on my fainting couch, and I hope you and Gil don't mind, but I am going to light up a cigar.
Oh my God, it's huge.
That's a huge cigar, baby. I'd actually like to ask you if you are gonna smoke that, please step outside.
I don't think he'll get through the door.
I just spat out the last of my water. I haven't been able to take a drink this whole time, and I'm becoming a bit parched. I don't think the smoke would help with.
Oh, I understand. I will just tuck this away in my cigar carrying case.
Two notes for people who cannot see us as we record this podcast. One, baby's mouth just opened like a python to get that cigar in there, which was a sight to behold. And I also just want to shout out Gil for doing investigative reporting on his Cricket flip phone. I didn't even know it was possible. Just an incredible display of ingenuity. I'm so glad to work with both of you.
Thank you, Manny. This isn't actually a Cricket phone. This phone is actually brought to you by Yalcombek Cellular. Yalcombek Cellular, the number one.
Gil, we didn't agree to a sponsorship. What is this?
Well, let me just say, don't go investigating the number one shareholder in Yalcombek Cellular.
Oh my Lord. Well, all right.
And that sound means it's time for time, weather, and community announcements. It's a Wednesday afternoon, and it is... Oh, I think it's snowing outside. In community announcements, Yalcombek residents can see a natural phenomenon next week. A bright green and blue light effect will be visible in the sky on clear nights as the Yalcombek watercolor enthusiasts burn their most recent paintings.
Founded by three nuns of St. Yolcompatrick Church, Sisters for the Second Amendment have asked us to let the town know they are circulating a petition to call for the end of the prohibition of t-shirt cannons at local sporting events.
Wedding bells are ringing. Patty Cake and Baker S. Mann will be tying the knot on the 30th of next month at Yalcombek First Methodist. Keep an eye out for invitations, which are little rolls of paper marked with a B.
The Yalcombek Prank Masters are happy to announce the election of their new chairman, Willie Lickerbush, and their vice chairman, Phil McCracken. Congratulations, fellas, and good luck in the upcoming legislative session.
New Year, new poo. The Yalcombek Fiber Foundation is offering free bags of supplements to all who attend their second annual End Constipation Conference at the Yalcombek Lodge on January 14th. They are confident that conference number 2 will run smoothly.
Congratulations to James E. Jameson, grandson of former Little Miss Cornhole, Jamie Jameson, for accepting a full-ride scholarship to the Albuquerque College of Chopping and Lumberjackery.
And we here at This Is Yalcombek want to wish all of you a happy new year. And if any of those sound like the place you'd like to call your new home, remember, this is Yulkumbak.
This is Yulkumbak is an improvised podcast performed by Corey Collins, Josiah Knight, and Cameron Lindsay. Music written and performed by Caleb Ritchie. Check out his music at Caleb Ritchie Music on Facebook. Our cover art was done by Pip Lloyd. You can find Pip and their work on Twitter with the username @_protopip. Eager for more This Is Yulkumbak or have a community announcement that you'd like to be read on the show? Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at YulkumbakPod on Twitter and at This Is Yulkumbak on Instagram. Our special guest, CJ Saga, was played by Stephanie Early. Stephanie is an alumna of the Transylvania University improv team Impromptu and the proud dog mom of two. Our email is yulkumbakpodcast@gmail.com. That's YALLCOMEBACK podcast@gmail.com. If you really want to support This Is Yulkumbak, you can support us on Patreon, where we are always eager to hear your suggestions for new content and ways that we can engage with our listeners. If you like what you heard here, please hit subscribe so that you can get the newest episode in your feed every week. And while you're at it, leave a 5-star review. Finally, share the show with your friends. Just like the people of Yulkumbak, we are looking to grow, and we would love to welcome more folks into our community. Thanks for listening.